In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading down at verse 3. First Peter chapter 1, down at verse number 3. Your Bible says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I thank God for his mercy to us, that he's let us come all this far, because he's getting ready to reveal us. He's getting ready to reveal us. I had somebody tell me today that they think that we are the last and the very small remnant left that he'll have to rapture out of here. I do believe that statement to be very true. And the reason I even think that is because every time I turn around, salvation changes, seems like, for people. Just like this. I'm going to go ahead and out on a limb and speak to the internet. Y'all just talk amongst yourselves. If I were an independent Baptist missionary, I'd go seek independent Baptists for support.
Yep.
Oh, wait a minute. Have we got some goofball liberals with us? Let me say it again for you. Amen. If as an independent Baptist, if I go out for support, I'm going to independent Baptist churches.
Amen.
Anybody can send me money, but I'm not going to seek it from nobody that people believe the King James Bible.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So what about such a shut your face? How about that? You go get your sport from your crowd, we'll get it from our crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold on, let me say it again. Amen, friend.
Amen.
Now listen to me. The reason I say that is because every time I talk to somebody when these another thing is spelt different than us, they believe something different about salvation.
Right.
That is heresy if they don't believe what I just read to you. And that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight on, is salvation. The simple subject of salvation. You ought to be an expert on this subject. You know why? You saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all about it. Nobody does, but we know how to get in.
Man.
That's what you got to know.
Right.
And if you've been saved more today, you know how it is to live as a Christian, because Christ lives in you.
Right.
It's no longer you having to perform. That was before.
Right.
Now he does it.
Amen.
And as we look at this tonight, I want to tell you about the word salvation. It means the act of saving and preservation from destruction. You got a bunch of mentions of this thing. The first mention is Genesis 49:18. But occurrences through the Bible that we can say of note would be this. Is number one, is it a scene, according to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses told his people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's something you can see.
Amen.
When God saves somebody, you can see it. You say, well, Exodus 14:13 is about the nation of Israel. A God-called out assembly, called out of Egypt. Everybody could see it. And in a local church, when God calls out sinners out of this world, you can see it.
Right.
That's why we're not an invisible church.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that thing? People say, well, I believe in the universal invisible body of Christ. Really? I can see you. You're not invisible.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. No, I don't. That's not very plain. But what I can see is salvation. When I say, you know what I can tell? I can usually tell by people, listen, who show their love for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they show attributes that he has. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
We're gonna get deep into this thing tonight. And I noticed that the next one we see about salvation of an occurrence, this word, would be how the salvation is personal. I used to work with a guy named Matthew. He was over in Spartanburg. I asked him, I said, one day I just felt so burdened about the kid. I walked up to him, I said, Matthew, are you saved? He said, well, I'm a missionary, missionary's child. My parents are missionaries. I said, Matthew, are you saved? He said, well, they are, and I've got in under their umbrella. I said, Matthew, are you saved? Here's what your Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. To work out your own salvation.
Yeah.
It's not a different deal than everybody else, but God saves you personally. By general call, you respond to Him, to the gospel, and then He saves you personally.
Yeah.
Don't try to ride Grandma's coattails into heaven. You'll probably wind up in hell. You got to get, just like Grandma had to weep her way to Christ under the deep conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Grandpa did it. Mama did it. Daddy did it. Your brother and sister did it. Your children may have already done it. You have to do it too.
Right.
It's a personal salvation. And not only that, the salvation is brought. God said to us through the man Titus, He said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation. You didn't go hunting it. It was brought to your doorstep because you couldn't get to where it was if you wanted to.
Amen.
It's a salvation that's brought. It's a salvation that's exclusive. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. It's just in Jesus. It's exclusive. If somebody tells you, well, I think that such and such is saved because they're a good person and they're of a different religion, I don't care what religion they are, if they're our own. Either they come by the way of the cross or they don't get to come at all. Listen, this thing is exclusive to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And also, we know this is a confessed salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. That's the difference right there. You've got to confess that. I've heard people say, I don't know if I prayed right. Did you confess that He rose from the dead? I'm sorry what I done, Lord. Did you confess that Jesus Christ was rose from the dead by God the Father? Did you believe with all your heart? See, that's what that is. It's something you confess that's already happened, that you've already said and done, because He lives inside here. We also know that it's a salvation that's owned. Do you know somebody owns your salvation?
Amen.
This is why you can't get rid of it. Jonah said in the belly of the whale, at the lowest point in his life, recorded in his entire life, he said, salvation is of the Lord in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. It's not ours to take away or give away. It's not ours to pretend about. It's not ours to fake. It's His. It's His. And it's also, this is my favorite part right here. According to Jude 3, it's a common salvation. That means anybody can get a hold of this.
That's right.
We don't have to go out and say, well, that's only for that crowd. It's for everybody.
Amen.
The common salvation. Your salvation is no different than mine.
Right.
I've had people tell me, well, I know you used to be on drugs. And if my child's on drugs, if you come talk to my child will probably get right because they'll understand you. How about this? They need the gospel, not me. Jesus Christ changes lives, not my testimony.
Right.
I've had people say, well, don't you think that would make a difference? Would you believe I've led more non-drug users to the Lord than drug users?
Yeah.
Say, why is that? Because I didn't ask them first. Are you on drugs? Well, I can help you. No, I don't ask them on drugs. You know why? I ask them if they lost.
Yeah.
That's who I can help. I got the message to help lost people. Do you know I've led people to the Lord that's never smoked a cigarette in their life? Wouldn't dream of it. Too uppity for all that. I've led women to the Lord to have to dip a snuff in their mouth while they was asking Jesus to save them and spit the stuff out. I'm telling you, listen, you reach all kinds. If you'll open up your scope, you can get everybody instead of focusing on one crowd.
Amen.
That's why we tell missionaries, if you won't go soul winning in America, there's no way you'll do it overseas.
Yep.
Because it's a whole lot more difficult over there, especially when they talk a different language. You go up and talk about, are you saved? And next you go, Romanak Pise. You go, huh? And they go, what? Oui? What are you going to do? Talk in an unknown tongue, them understand you? That's what real talking in tongues is. Funny thing how they got to go to language school when they go over there. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, when you're an American, you're out of the country, then if you're watching, you're going to rob from me. I said, that's why I talk like this. I'm bad. I wouldn't think I'm Russian or German. I might bite their head off if they tap me on the shoulder. Amen. Listen, just kidding. Listen to me. I see that salvation is common. It's for everybody. But here are the facts of salvation. The number one fact of salvation is simply this. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We were saved from the penalty of sin. Do you know when I got saved and when you got saved, you know what happened? You ain't got to go to hell.
Right.
But what if I do such and such? Either you're saved or you're lost.
Right.
How about that? Now, when people say, well, what if I do such and such? What if you do?
Yeah.
Listen, You think you're so smart. Let me tell you something. What year was you born? I asked this the other night. Some of you didn't even know, bless your heart. When was you born? What year was it? You remember? Okay. When did Jesus die? Was it before that year?
Yeah.
So everything that he died for, you is already in the future. What you going to do? He died for that too, whatever you're thinking about.
Right.
Now here's the good news for saved people. We can commit those sins, but when he saves you, you won't want to.
That's
right. God will change your life over it.
Amen.
And the very verse I'm thinking about, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only are we placed in him, we're made in him now. And because that new spirit inside us has been born again, the Holy Spirit's there, we've been saved from the penalty of sin, it's no longer a message of do and don't do, it's a message of done.
Amen.
And because it's done, I don't have the liberty to go commit any sin I want, but I do have the liberty to serve and worship God now in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
People get that confused. They say, now I'm saved, I can do anything I want to. You don't have that choice no more. Just like when I was born in this world, listen to this. I was around adults that had good sense. I could put my finger in that outlet if I could make it to it. I could pull that pan of hot grease on top of my head if I wanted to in the kitchen, but there's always adults there that said, you touch that one more time, I'm going to give you reason to cry, and then they'll whoop the snot out of you and say this, if you cry, I'll give you reason to cry if you don't stop that crying. I'm like, nowadays, it's just, I don't understand it. They'd call that child abuse what I was raised with.
Yeah.
And I never bled one time from it. Except that one time with that hickory. I don't want to go into that. I still feel pains going down my legs when I think about that. I can almost feel the blood running down in my socks right now. You understand me? You say, what was a switch? Is a thing that turned you on or turned you off, whichever one you needed. Just like them light switches, but it was about this long, about that big around. And you had to go get the stupid thing. So all the time. Listen, Brother Jason, they tell me, now, you don't play with a pocket knife. Little boys don't get a pocket knife. As soon as I got in trouble, take your knife out there and get me a switch. I'm like, hold up. You better get out there and get me a switch. I was thinking, man, this is hypocrisy here on the deepest kind. And you young children, y'all won't never know the meaning of this one, so I'm going to tell you. That when you went out to pick the switch out, you better not get one that's this big, about, you know, little teeny tiny pencil lead looking thing, or they went and got one. That's where my worst whooping come from, so going picking out my own. I picked out the thing I thought would break first switch. They picked one out, didn't. I told my grandpa, I said, you know, it wasn't no sense in getting the ball bat after me like that. You know that? You know what I'm saying? But you're saved from the penalty of sin. And by saying you're saved from the penalty of sin, you deserved and was headed to hell, and God's lifted the sentence.
Amen.
You no longer going to hell.
Amen.
It ought to make us be very shameful of ourselves, how we act, if we say to ourselves, I can do anything I want to and go out and commit a sin.
Mm.
You know why? He released us from all that. Why don't we go out and do that stupid thing again?
Right.
Listen to this. Hold your place here and look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to show you something really unique in the Bible. I want this to help you tonight like nothing else has helped you here lately. I don't cover this subject a whole lot, but I do want to cover it. And I'm going to cover it tonight just a little bit about this penalty of sin by saying this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down at verse number 9, the Bible says this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm saved from the penalty of sin, I know that I will never spend one second inside the Great Tribulation if the rapture happens right now.
Amen.
And if the Great Tribulation starts right now, I'd already be gone. And here's why. Did you see he's not appointed us unto wrath? That's what that's talking about, is that Great Tribulation. And because I'm not going to spend a second inside that thing, you know what? I've had people come up and say, well, now the church ain't got, they ain't went through nothing yet. God's going to let them go through half of it. Really? That's really smart. You ought to study the book of Revelation and see how many times it takes you on a tour through the book of Revelation and see what that thing lines up and how them things all line up. And you'll find out something. You've lost your ever-loving mind if you believe that.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I add this? You've been reading books that teach that garbage, or you'd never believe it yourself.
Right.
We're saved from the penalty of sin. And as far as the church going through it, I know in the South we think some blue-haired old lady telling us they don't like the way we said something or the way we treated such and such, the way we dress or something like that. We think that's persecution. But you march right over to China and get a King James Bible out and stand on the street corner, see how quick they let you live.
Yeah.
Don't tell me the church ain't been persecuted. She's been persecuted since the day she come in this earth.
Yeah.
And listen, that's going right back to God. And listen, when Saul was doing it, he's asking this. He said, "Wherefore persecutest thou me?"
Yeah.
They can keep on lashing out us. They're attacking him, and eventually he's going to stand up and take us out of the way. And at the rapture of the church, he's going to pull his church out of here and deal with that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil's going to turn everything he's got to try to kill 144,000 male Jewish virgins that have been set apart and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God with Jehovah's name in their forehead, and none of them are Jehovah's Witnesses. Say amen right there. And when he goes out there and does that, he's going to turn that thing where you got to take a mark just to buy a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get food after that, you're going to understand persecution. But that's for tribulation saints. That ain't for the church.
Right.
He's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through him. We're saved from the penalty of sin. Another fact is we're saved from the power of sin. Look over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, down at verse number 14. Your Bible says this: "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Notice the statement, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Why will sin not have dominion over you? Because of who you are and to whom you belong to. Right there in the book.
Right.
I don't like being negative. Bless your heart. Did you catch that knot right there? I like that one.
Amen.
That's as negative as you can get. I've noticed this over the years. If a sin gets back in my life or gets in my life I've never experienced them before, I know this. I catch on to it eventually and I get victory over it.
Yeah.
You know why? It don't have me. I may have let it come in through ignorance or through letting it come in just through stupidity, but I know this. It cannot have dominion over me. Why?
Yeah.
I'm not under law.
Right.
I'm under grace. And what happens is, God reminds me somewhere along the way, either in a Sunday school lesson, a daily Bible reading, a gospel tract, somebody saying something, some preaching somewhere, something, it'll come up and then it comes out.
Amen.
And God has already taken care of it in the fact that it cannot get you anymore. Y'all ever go to the rodeo and watch them guys? They'll take them lassos, they'll get them things, they'll flip them cattle out, and they'll tie them feet up and do all that. I think we need to change that sport a little bit. Instead of having bull riding, I think we need to go bull roping and run them bulls out there and let them tie one of the big guys like that up. They can take two or three if they want to. I'd like to see him flip that sucker over, just tie his feet together or try to. I think we need to change golf, by the way. I think we need to put linebackers out there with golf clubs and let them fight and see who wins with just hitting each other with the club. And then with the last guy standing can drop the ball in the hole and that's who wins the game. Wouldn't that be good? I think basketball ought to be played on ice skates. You know why? And take away all them little foul. You know, like we used to play when we were growing up. Except you're on ice skates. And listen to this. That way it speed up the game a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Make it a whole lot fairer, you know, level playing field. And I joke about all that, but I'm saying this. When you get into these sports, you are bound by rules. Any sport. I don't care if it's boxing. You know, if you're boxing, you can't kick a man. They finally came up with a sport for that. They got tired of watching these guys kick each other. They went overseas and said, "Man, them guys kick and box." We called it kickboxing. Then they said, "You know what? We don't like this ring and rope and all this. Let's put them in a cage and throw out most of the rules." MMA. But they still have rules. I've watched these guys fight in karate things, you know, where the guy's wearing the white suits and they walk out and do this. They got rules. I like theirs better. You know why? If you mess up, you got to fight the referee. I think that's cool. The referee's bad, you know. He's a referee not because he can't see like a football referee. They had to go to replay in the NFL. You know why? There's missing that many calls. Now, you wrestling fans, if they miss a call, they did that one on purpose.
Yep.
Just to add drama to the thing, see? I know y'all thought it was real, but I'm here to tell you it's not. I can only preach the truth here. But listen, I'm telling you that we're saved from the very power of sin because the rules no longer apply to us in that way because we're under grace and not under law.
Right.
If you've got 10 commandments, and you know the 10 commandments, I'm sure I could call on anybody in this room to stand up and recite them right now. So why is that? Because y'all so good at them. You keep all 10 of them, don't you? Wait a minute. The grace crowd don't keep the 10 commandments? Maybe that's why you don't know them, because you don't have to live by them.
Yep.
We're not under law anymore. And we determined from an expert scholar on the front row that his wife taught him very well that we have 613 commandments in the Bible. I promise you, that bunch that says they keep the 10 commandments, they don't keep the Sabbath day, much less them other 612.
Yep.
And here's a news flash. If you miss one in your lifetime, you're guilty of the other 612.
Yep.
So we're not under law. We're not performing to get to heaven. We're saved from the power of sin because it's already been taken away.
Yep.
It's taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And because we have that, we're saved from the penalty and power of sin. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 9, I'll show you this. And we're saved literally from the presence of sin. We're saved from the presence of sin. Hebrews chapter 9. God did this for you. Say, would you have done it for me? In a second, but I couldn't. He had to do it. Hebrews chapter 9. We're saved from the presence of sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When Christ died, He died with our sins on Him. But when He returns, He's going to return without those sins on Him. They've already been put where they need to be, and that's under His shed blood. And because the sin debt's paid, now we're saved from the presence of sin. I think that some people have the wrong idea about heaven. The most number one notorious wrong thing about heaven, the terrorists of the Islamic faith teach this. When you die, you get a certain bunch of sins waiting on you on the other side over. You ain't going to do that over on that side of the grave. Did you know that? They neither marry nor are given in marriage on that side.
Right.
And because we neither marry nor give in marriage, that won't be an issue over there for that.
Right.
Don't even look for it. It ain't there. And besides, you won't think about it.
That's right.
And we're saved from the presence of sin and the fact that it don't have dominion over us. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We won't go where the debt's been paid. But now we're going to be saved from the presence of sin because this Bible says that one day God's going to wipe away all of heaven and all of earth and make a new heaven and new earth where sin has never even been.
Right.
If you study your Bible, you know in Revelation chapter 14, there's a Mount Zion mentioned over there. And people try to tie that in with Israel. So that's that Mount Zion over there. Not that one. The one they're talking about in Ezekiel, in chapter 28, that's where Satan was standing when he committed the first sin, in heaven.
Yep.
That Mount Zion. God's going to wipe away all that because sin's been in heaven because of Lucifer.
Yep.
We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And because we have a new heaven and a new earth, now all of a sudden the rules have really changed for us, haven't they? We're going to get up there, and like I said, there's some people who get to heaven, they're going to think, this ain't nothing like I thought it would be. No beer joints, no crack houses, no places to make meth, no adult bookstores, no pornography theaters will be there.
Yeah.
None of that. There'll be no gambling houses there.
Right.
And some people think they're going to get to heaven and have all that stuff, if you can believe that.
Huh.
What do they think we're going to do there? Can I tell you what we're not going to do there? None of that.
That's right.
The former things are passed away.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that when God saves somebody, He saves us from the presence of sin. But He does that also on this side of the grave. I promise you that when you first got saved, the same things that used to tempt you tempted you right away. But as time came by and there was time went on, the next thing you noticed was this. them things didn't bother you no more. So you know what the devil did? He backed up and punted and adjusted his strategy and came at you with something else. You know why? He seen the presence of sin was gone. He seen the power of sin was gone. He knows the penalty's been removed, and therefore he's trying to attack you in a whole new way. Why? He's the devil.
Right.
That's what he does. If you'll notice over in 1 Peter chapter 1, where we started tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1, we're saved by the pardon of sin as well. It's a fact. And there's elements that show up over there in those three verses we read tonight that I want to get to right quickly. Number one verse 3 there, number one word, blessed. You heard these Carrie Max talking about, I'm blessed and highly favored? That's me. You know why? I've got Christ as my Savior. I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm breathing. I'm blessed. If I quit breathing, I'm blessed.
Uh-huh.
How about that one?
Amen.
I went looking at some things the other day. We was looking at some flowers for Justin's graveside over there. Got to looking at them, and I got to thinking, boy, it must be good to be on that side of the grave for 4 years now.
Hmm.
4 years.
Wow.
How about that? Can you imagine how the first 4 years are going to be for you over there? Let me run something by you. How do you think the first 4 million is going to go by?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look around and say, time sure does fly. I thought we just got here yesterday. Man, it's been that good. And we're going to have all eternity to enjoy it.
Yes.
Why? Because we have literally been pardoned and don't have to worry a thing about it. And the number one element, he says right in this verse, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath done this right here, begotten us again. Remember when Jesus said, you must be born again? Peter's reiterating what he says right here. And see, he says, we got begotten us again into a lively hope. A lively hope. Don't be one of the frozen chosen. You've been born again to be alive. I had somebody tell me the other day that they didn't think I was saved because I laughed too much. I laughed right in their face when they said it.
Mercy.
You know why? I didn't get saved because I got a dead hope.
Yep.
I got a lively hope.
Amen.
I get to smile now because I got something to smile about.
Amen.
Before, I had to be chemically induced to smile and laugh. Now, I just smile and laugh because I enjoy life now.
Amen.
Don't frown at me, little girl. Smile. You, all three of you over there, wake up and smile. I might have put you to sleep, but I'm throwing water on you too. Listen. They wasn't really asleep. Don't get the belt out. Don't get the switch out. How about that? Don't get the switch out, Mom. Don't do that. It was a joke. You don't know that's coming y'all's way till I stop them. Now listen to me. I think it's really sad when people walk around.
Yeah.
Are you safe? Yeah. You sure? Why wouldn't I be? Kind of different what Paul got, sounds like.
Yeah.
Kind of different new creature in Christ. Went up to a dog today, year and a half old lab. Wouldn't come up to me at first. The owner showed up and he come up to me. I stuck my hand out like he's supposed to. Dog sniffed at me and barked at me. I said, quit your complaining. You'll get in heaven one day. Don't worry about it. And the dog's doing all that. It's funny how they'll do that. They got to get their little statements out. You know how people are dogs. Dogs I'm talking about are people. Anyway, I noticed something about that dog, though. It acted like that because it was what? Why did it act like that? It's a dog. That's why he didn't say, hey, he had to bark at me. That's what he was doing, telling me, hey, in his own language. I didn't say he's mad. I just said he barked. Are you listening to me yet? Lively hope. Begotten again into a lively hope. And then he says this. Here's how it happened. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, the elements of God's salvation have to start right there at that tomb.
Yep.
You ever hear somebody say, I just preached the cross. Then you've left out two-thirds of the message. You got to start off with that message. That he was dead, buried, and rose again the third day.
Yeah.
That's very important because a lot of religious leaders have died. But only one got up from the grave.
Amen.
And he says in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, it says, that fadeth not away, I talked to the dry cleaner today, and they said somebody brought a coat up there, and it's a true story, that had glitter and sequins on one side of it and feathers on the other. I said, did you take a picture? She said, no. I said, it didn't happen. But you know what they wanted? The person to own that coat wanted? Now, I didn't catch this male or female on this coat, but I did want to take a look at this thing. I said, I did ask her name. She couldn't remember who it was. They said they bought this thing, wore it, and brought it up here to be dry cleaned. Said, one problem. They don't dry clean feathers at the dry cleaners. They don't dry clean glitter at the dry cleaners. You just can't do that. And the lady looked at her and said, how do you get this thing clean? She said, I have no idea, but if we throw this thing in the machine, it's coming apart. Now, could you imagine spending your hard-earned money on something cool like that? I'm talking feathers on one side, glitter and sequins on the other. I mean, I'm thinking it had Nature Boy in the back of it somewhere in this story, but it didn't. And I'm sitting there thinking, you buy that, you spend your money on it, and then when you get it dirty, you can never get it clean. I thought about Micah's Christmas suits. I told her I could top that story. Hold my coffee while I show you this picture here. But I got to thinking about that. Those things are novelties.
Yeah.
They're novelties. You remember all the nice robes that Ric Flair used to claim he paid $10,000 for? He actually did. The lady that made him's name was Olivia Walker, and she told him, if you ever take one of my robes on TV and get it tore up in one of these little wrestling angles, she said, I'll never remake the one you get tore up. Well, one day in 1978, they came up with the idea they was going to turn his partner to a good guy, make him the bad guy still, and they tore up one of them robes. And he immediately took $10,000, tried to order one. She said, I ain't doing it. She said, you had one shot. You ain't getting another one. And that's got to be the best robe I've ever seen in wrestling. And I've been watching wrestling all my life. I mean, that thing had peacock feathers all over it. Nice thing. Do you know how hard it is to catch that thing and pluck feathers off him? I mean, I'm telling you, that's a job right there in itself. I hope you do it after he passes away. But I'm telling you, listen, them things can't be clean for a reason. They fall apart.
Yeah.
Do you know that families at funerals fall apart? You know why they fall apart? They don't love each other. And when somebody dies, it comes out when the money's on the line.
Hmm.
But it's my inheritance. No, it's my inheritance. Can you imagine how Nate and Emily are going to be? You think they fight now? Wait till these two go to heaven. They got to fight over the rest of it. Hope you got an ironclad will, brother. Hope y'all both do. Leave it to me. They don't have to worry about it. Anyway, I see these people doing all this stuff, and they're pouring money into something that's going to fade away.
Yeah.
He just said he's going to give you inheritance that won't fade away.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And it says there, watch this next word, reserved. Reserved. Reserved where? In heaven for you. So we've got the resurrection of Christ as the element of God's salvation, but we see the reservation of Christ where he made the reservation somewhere where they can't steal it either.
Right.
When my grandma died, my grandma McDaniel, the house was looted before her body got to the morgue.
Huh.
It wasn't thieves done it. Brother Rick, it wasn't thieves that got in there and broke through. Everybody had a key. I had somebody tell me they drove by there and said it was like ants working on an ant colony down there. They was hauling everything they could out to the car. I said, Lord have mercy. Woman didn't have nothing. They took what she had as soon as she died. Little spoons that said South Carolina, North Carolina. She had them all states. Got them. Ain't that something? That's sad, ain't it? You know what the reason was? I gave that to her, so it's mine. I don't think you understand how giving works. I'll talk to you after service if you believe like that, because I don't think that's how giving works.
Right.
It's really not. Because once you give it to them, it's theirs.
Right.
I'd hate to think somebody wants all my Christmas presents they gave me over the years back, because I don't know where half of them are. I don't know where half of them this year are. We're just in May going into June. I can't even tell you what I got for Christmas, matter of fact, I don't remember. They say this is the problem you get as you get older. I don't know, but I've been like this for quite a while, Brother Ben. You ain't got nothing to worry about. This has been happening for 20 years, so it ain't nothing new. But I see we're saved literally from by the pardon of sin, because the reservation is made that all the stuff that I do for Him, it's already somewhere else where I can't even get to it and mess it up.
Amen.
But I said all that to say this. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Now watch this. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, we're saved by the resurrection and reservation of Christ, but then the third part's the revelation of Christ. You're kept by the power of God because He's got to show you somewhere down the road. The Bible talks about us being trophies of His grace in Ephesians chapter 2 after it tells us how to get saved. Listen, we're trophies of His grace. When you get to heaven, you won't be there to tell how good you are. You're going to be there to tell how good He is. And everybody there, listen, you'll have all the audience of heaven hear your testimony, and you won't mind telling it because any anxiety or nerves won't be in heaven. All those things that would hold us back over here from being able to address somebody and tell them, here's what God did, we can be able to tell it here, but then we'll have an audience over there that will shout on what God did. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we see people say, well, I think you got to be baptized to go to heaven. You get to that side of the grave, don't nobody talking about their baptism. Maybe all we're talking about how He saved them out of this, how He saved them from hell, how He saved them from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, and how He kept every one of us by the power of God.
Amen.
He did that. Yep. See, that's biblical salvation.
Yep.
I've taught this wonderful lesson to you tonight to ask you one question. Are you saved?
Amen.
Are you saved? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.